Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman plucks it down with her hands. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time this morning. We can preach your word, spend time in your word. Thank you that you've given us your word, the Bible, by which we can grow and know our Savior and our God as we should know him. I pray, Lord, for any here this morning who do not know him as Savior, I pray, Lord, you would work in their hearts to the degree that they would come to the place where they'd see their need of Jesus Christ and cry out to them to save them from sin. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word together. We pray you'll bless our time together. May you speak to our hearts, Lord. Challenge us, encourage us, show us a way, and may we see Jesus Christ in his glory, in his power, in his wisdom, and may we love him and serve him because of his wonderful sacrifice for our sins and laying down his life. We thank you for the promise that he is coming again, will receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. We pray your blessing now as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hand. The foolish tears it down, tears it apart. The wise woman builds up that house, builds up that home. Proverbs 24, we read in Proverbs 24, you may turn there if you like, and verses 3 and 4, Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You know, it goes without saying, but I'll say it, that the major responsibility of a wife and a mother is to run her kids to soccer practice and to make gourmet meals for her husband. Let me repeat that. The major responsibility of a wife and a mother is to run her kids to soccer practice and to make wonderful gourmet meals for her family, especially her husband. Oh, I'm sorry. The major responsibility of a wife and a mother is this, to make a home. To make a home for her husband and children. That sounds better. A major responsibility of a wife and a mother is to make a home for her husband and children. Now, I didn't say that's the only responsibility, but it is a major responsibility. It is a responsibility, and it is major, we might say. I'm to be responsible with my responsibility. We all have responsibilities. And again, a major responsibility is to be a wife and a mother, of a wife and a mother to make a home for her children. A virtuous woman does that. Well, a virtuous woman does many things. In fact, virtuous woman, according to Proverbs 31, invests her money. It says that she considers a field and buys it. So she might be in the investment business as well. But the major responsibility is to make a home for her husband and children. Now, I know that is not politically and culturally correct. In fact, I suppose some would call it a sexist statement. Well, be that as it may. If you want to say calling a woman a wife and a mother is sexist, so be it. And they would say it's one that is degrading to a woman. But it is a biblically correct statement, one I believe honors God who created the marriage relationship and the home, and it honors and exalts a woman to her God-ordained calling and privilege and responsibility. After all, it's the woman that gives birth to the baby. Why? to give birth to that baby and dump it off on someone else? No, no. It's to raise that baby. It's to train that baby. Is that the only thing she does? I'm not saying that. But it is the major responsibility to make a home for her husband and children. She is foremost a homemaker. A homemaker. She, after all, has an MD. She has an MD. Mother's degree. By God's blessing. And there's no higher position than that. And no more difficult of a task than that. Homemaking is an American term for the management of the home, otherwise known as household management. So mom, you are a household manager. You are in management. Someone asks you what you do, you just say that, I'm in management. Oh, really? Yeah, well, I'm impressed. Well, you ought to be. What kind of management? Household management. Yeah, that might take them back too. It is the act of overseeing organizational day-to-day operations of a house or estate and the managing of other domestic concerns. And by the way, a home is more than house and furniture. A home is a safe place. It's a happy place. It's a secure place. I grew up in a home like that. Even though, as far as I know, my mom and dad weren't saved, we had a safe, secure home. I love coming home from school and sitting down with mom almost on a daily or every afternoon basis and having cookies and milk while she drank coffee with my mom. And sometimes my dad was there if he wasn't out working in the field on the farm. Mom, when asked what you do, you can always respond, I'm in management. And then they say, oh, wow, well, where did you go to college? I'm assuming you went to college. And say, yeah, you got that right. I went to Hard Knocks University, right? HKU. Home. A home is made. A home is homemade, right? It's homemade. A home is made. It doesn't just happen. A home is more than a house and furniture. A home is a safe place, a happy place, a secure place. It's a place that one wants to be. You want to be home. After all, Dorothy proclaimed, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. And the wife, the mom, is the key to making that home a home, that home a haven. Dads don't do very well at making the home a haven. They usually just make it a mess, and the mother and the wife has to clean up after dad's mess, right? But she is a homemaker, a house builder, and she is the key to making it the home a haven. She is a hand that rocks the cradle and thus rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel. Oh, no matter where the place. Wood that never storms assailed it. Rainbows ever gently curled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission. Here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh keep the young heart open, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is a hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women. Fathers, sons, and daughters cry. And the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens. Rainbows evermore are hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. A home is made. It doesn't just happen. A home is a safe place. And the wife and the mother is the key to making that home a home. She is a homemaker. She's a house builder. And thus she's a very wise woman. And she's building, 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 building. She's the wisest of women. as the ESV translates it. In other words, she is at her best for God as manager at home, or she should be. She should be. And she knows she's a mom. And, she knows she's a mom because you know you're a mom when instead of talking to adults, you spell to them. You think that waking up at 7 in the morning is sleeping in. You know you're a mom when a trip to the bathroom includes an audience. You know you're a mom when grocery shopping by yourself seems like a vacation. You know you're a mom when you use baby wipes to clean the dash of the car. And you know you're a mom when you have more crayons in your purse than money. And that's probably very true. Or Hot Wheels cars or G.I. Joes or whatever. They used to be G.I. Joes anyway. She's a homemaker. If she'd rather have a career, she's giving up riches for rags, a castle for a cottage. She's plucking it down, tearing it down with her hands. I didn't say if she has a career. I said if she would rather have a career, because she may be throwing away God's best and most precious gift to her. Yes, it's God's gift if she puts her home first. A young girl who aspires to be a homemaker when grown up is setting her eyes on gold and silver. She's wanting the best that a woman can have. And we ought to instill this principle in our daughters. The Bible says in Titus 2:5, the older women are to teach the younger women to be keepers at home. That's what the Bible says. The older women ought to be teaching the younger women to be keepers, to be homekeepers, and how to be homekeepers or homemakers. But very few girls are seeking for the best today. And I believe because of that, they may not find real contentment or real joy and may even bring ruin upon their homes. I'm not saying a woman can't have a career. I'm not saying that, okay? Don't go out of here saying that. But I'm saying if she would rather have that than to be a godly mother and wife and lead her home. Here's an interesting statistic. The labor force of women with children under 6 in 2019 was about 66%. In other words, two-thirds of women with children under 6 are working, according to the statistic, as of 2019. That's a lot. That's a lot. And I know many out of necessity, but many out of choice. Many who work outside the home are better mothers and wives than some who don't work out the home. But far too many work outside the home because they're discontent at home. They're bored. They feel bound. They feel shackled. They feel imprisoned. And they like the sound of a second income. A career sounds more glamorous than just being a homemaker. And we ought to not ever say, well, I'm just a mom. I'm just a homemaker. No, you are. And you're in the best position you can be. A home is where we want to be, after all. A home is where that's where I want to be. I want to be home. That's where I wanted to go when I was growing up. I wanted to go home and have coffee with my mom when I got old enough to drink coffee, you know. I miss that. I miss my mom. But a home is where we want to be. But sadly for many, a home is where we never are. And many are now disillusioned and regretful and sorry, maybe that they build a career instead of a home. Instead of a home. God calls wise the one who builds her home. Who builds her home. Physically. Physically, she makes the house a place of comfort and pride and satisfaction. It's homey. It's a heaven on earth. It's where the family wants to be. Her husband and children want to live there. They want to live there. The atmosphere is good and joyful and delightful, a delightful place to be, a place where wonderful memories are built. I have wonderful, again, I grew up in a home that was not Christian. Well, we went through the motions of being Christian. We went to church, every other Sunday at least. But the atmosphere is good. It's joyful. It's a delightful place to me. My home, though it was a Christian, was a wonderful place to me. A place where memories are built. I have wonderful memories of, again, coming home from school and having cookies and milk. I have wonderful memories in the evening of watching an episode of Combat at 6:30 on Tuesday evening with my dad. We had to watch Combat and Bonanza and those shows, shows that guys like to watch, you know. And then memories of wrestling with my dad on the floor, usually in our underwear. And jumping on my dad, and he can take it. He was strong, he was. And I have wonderful memories of that. There's order. Well, sometimes there's order. But generally there's order, there's cleanliness. Not perfection in the home. And sometimes it can be pretty messy at times. But there's structure. It's lived in. Home is lived in. It's not a museum, but neither is it the next location for A&E TV, Arts and Entertainment TV crew to come in and film the next episode of Hoarders. They ought not to do that at your home. Educationally, she's a master teacher, principal, coach, English teacher. She reads to her children and instills in them a love of books that will take them far. You remember presidential candidate Ben Carson? How can we forget Ben Carson? Ben Carson's mother, a single mom living in Detroit, required her kids to read two books every week. She made them read two books every week and then write a report on them and turn it in to her. What they didn't know at the time was that their mom couldn't even read. She could not read herself, but she required them to read and give her a report that she couldn't read. Mothers teach by example. And my word. So, spiritually, the physical aspect of the home is good and orderly because the spiritual aspect is right. There's a good spiritual atmosphere that pervades the home, a cleanliness in the heart. It's a godly atmosphere. There's inner joy and contentment in the mom. Inner joy and contentment. It may be chaos outside of her heart, but inside there's joy and contentment, and it spreads to the children. Yeah, there's some frustration, and it's discouraging at times, but in general, it's a spiritual house, and that mom is a wise woman in God's sight. She's making a home, a family for God whom she loves. She is the very soul, the heart and soul of her house. She instructs her children by example, no less than by her teaching. She educates them for God and for eternity. Home is a training place for children from which to leave and go out and serve God. She's a woman of self-denial. She denies herself for the sake of children. I know my mom did. I used to think that my mom's favorite piece of chicken was the thigh. I realized later it wasn't, but that's what she always took because she wanted her children, her husband, to have the best pieces, the white meat, you know, and the breast and the wings, or I thought the wings were the best. But then I realized, no, she did that for us. She, and so many ways she denied herself. She denies herself for the sake of her family. But the foolish woman, she's plucking, tearing down, destroying what God has given her. Heaven's choicest treasure, not for her, not for her. The Hebrew word for plucking down, tearing down, is a word that means to throw down, to break or tear down, plucking down, tearing it down with her hands. Idleness, waste, love of pleasure, love of worldliness, maybe in the form of television, maybe in the form of a lot of time spent on Facebook, lack of planning and care and a different attitude, or even dwelling on past mistakes or what might have been or all the if-onlys that can tear down a home rather than build it up. We need to move ahead, move forward, not dwell on the past, right? The foolish woman, her children's wills are allowed to go free. Their souls are neglected and their happiness is lost. And thus her house is plucked down. She's plucking it down, tearing it down. It's the undoing of her own hands. All she has to do is neglect it, and it will be plucked down, torn down, and fall apart. In Proverbs 31, 10 and 27 and 28, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. In Proverbs 31, 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness, and her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So well does she look to their way that none can accuse her of being idle. It's her house. It's her household. She knows a home doesn't just happen. It needs to be attended to, and attended to constantly. She works and works and works and works, and it's all for her home and for her soul and for her God. Bible says in Proverbs 31, 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. She'll have no need of spoil. Proverbs 31, 12, she'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. Verse 15, she rises while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Wouldn't you like to have that maid, right? She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. And it goes on. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. And all her household are clothed with scarlet. And verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. Order. Order is the principal rule of the home. Orders are given, and orders must be obeyed. And nothing is neglected that belongs to order and management of the home. She works, and she works, and she works. And yes, she's going to get frazzled, and she gets frazzled, and she gets upset, and sometimes she might even yell. Perish the thought, right? But she leads. She leads. And I had something I was going to read, and I can't get my notes squared away here. She works. Yeah, I can't find it. Anybody see that? It's laying around somewhere. Okay, it doesn't matter. She looks well to their spiritual habits, Bible teaching, prayer time, reading God's Word, family worship. Now, I know Dad, the husband, if there's a dad and a husband involved, he's to lead that. But the wife, the mother, can go a long way to get everything ready. She gets the Bibles out, maybe. Yeah, she gets everything ready for then as a reminder. Dan, here's your Bible that you're going to read to us tonight, right? but reading God's Word, family worship. She's with the children as much as she can be. And who can claim to have a virtue? Who can have the claim to a virtuous woman who doesn't feel the weight of family responsibility? And the mother has the opportunity to sow the Word of God in young hearts and lean them to Christ and get them on their way to a spiritual journey through life. And no job, no career, not even being the CEO of a company can offer such eternal rewards. The world says career mothers are wise, but God says the mother who looks well to her household is wise. And she needs to be there when in far too many homes she is not. Again, am I knocking a career? No. I'm saying the mother and the wife responsibility is number one. And then everything falls under that. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 28. Can yours? Will your children rise up and call you blessed? Isn't it so wonderful to see my wife get some flowers from one of her sons and a phone call from another? Or maybe that's probably going to come today. But what a blessing. What an honor. They're honoring their mom. And they're calling her blessed. What greater earthly happiness can she know than her children's reverence and her husband's blessing and praise? Picture her, crowned with years, children grown, families themselves to train as they had been trained, and their mom is constantly before their eyes. Her tender guidance, her wise counsel, her loving discipline, her holy example, her screaming and yelling and getting so mad that it looked like her veins were going to burst. Yeah, that happens as well. And they're all good memories. They're all good memories. I've heard family counselors on the radio and so on say that mom should never, ever yell at their kids. And I listen to that and I think, that's a bunch of nonsense. What mom doesn't yell at her kids? It's just all part of it. Sometimes you just got to yell at them, right? So don't worry about it, mom. They're going to get over it. And they're going to call you blessed. And they were her joy, and now they're her reward in her old age. And her husband praises her. His love and his attachment to her was based not on the deceitful and vain attraction of outward beauty, but on her love for God. That's what attracted him. She is the object of his love to the end. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Being beautiful is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That counts for something, the woman that fears the Lord. After all, beauty is going to fade away over time. But a woman that fears the Lord, that never fades away. It only grows stronger and richer. And because she looked well in their way, she built her house as a wise woman. She wasn't perfect. She made a lot of mistakes along the way. She has a lot of regrets. I mean, a lot of regrets. And she wishes she could do a lot of things over, but her household stands firm. Her children are her glory. Her husband sings her praise. And when nothing else in the world can give her joy in old age, even now her family does. Go to the nursing home. Go to a nursing home and see what these old women want most. Listen to what they talk about most. Say, you know, my son and his family, my grandkids came to see me the other day. That's what I remember hearing. When I used to go to the nursing home more. When we've had people in the nursing home, I go, and many times that's what I would hear them say. And it was so sad when you'd hear say, nobody ever comes to see me. Nobody ever comes to see me. They want their children's care and love and praises. So look well, ladies. Be wise and build now. While there's light, while there's time, don't neglect your family or you'll be neglected. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And you that maybe did neglect, and you say, man, I'm sorry, I wish I could do it over. Isn't it wonderful? God is a God of forgiveness, a God of mercy, and he forgives. And he takes us from where we are, and we can still be the mom and the dad and the wife and husband that we ought to be. We still can. We still can. Give yourself. Give yourself to your children, your husband. They are first, not you. Don't put material things first or electronic things. You'll lose them. You're going to lose them, but you'll not lose your family. You'll lose your cell phone. And we all have, haven't we? And we panic, right? But you don't want to lose your family. Realize that this is your place. Trust God. Walk by faith. By faith, you need to see this is God's place for you. But you first need to know Christ by faith. You need to know him by faith. Husbands, you know your wife and the mother. Your wife may not be the wife and mother God wants her to be because you are not the man and the husband that God wants you to be. Woe be to the man who disobeys God here. Help her. Help her. Help her be the homekeeper. Encourage her. Support her. Vacuum the rug for her. Wash the dishes for her. Take the kids to soccer practice for her. Cherish her. Love her. Give yourself to her. Give her your heart. Give her your heart and your money. And your money. But she wants your heart, first of all. Give time to her. Give her time to rest. Give her time to relax. Give her time to go shopping. You say, well, every week I let her go to Dillon's. You know, yeah, that's shopping to us. That's because when you go there and I go there, I run there to get chips and Pepsi and coffee, you know, and that's fun. I enjoy that. I don't have to get all this other stuff like lettuce and asparagus and green beans, but help her. Give her time to guide the house. And please, please, please don't pressure her to work outside the home. Don't pressure her into working outside the home. It's more important than getting ahead financially. Now, maybe it's needful. I understand that, but no pressure. No pressure from the man, from the husband. I'm afraid there is at times. Put God's commands first, and he will meet your physical and material needs. Step out by faith. Do right. Obey the scripture, and God will bless you richly. He really will. He really will. So, with that, I was going to close with that poem, but I already read it, I think, so I won't read it again. So, anyway, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll close with that. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for in the day we can especially honor our mothers, and we want to honor and thank you for our moms. Here, some mothers-to-be. We just pray, Lord, on each one. And we thank you for this time which we can set aside a day to remember our moms and honor our moms. And I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful memories I have of my mom. Some may be not so pleasant, but most of them are wonderful, Lord. And I thank you for the mom you gave me. And I pray, Lord, your blessing upon us. I pray your blessing on this day that we set aside to honor our moms, and we thank you we can do that here this morning as well. We pray your blessing now as we close. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.